This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, David O'Connor will be here shortly to share with us his vision for the sport globally as he begins his campaign to be elected as the next chair of the FEI's Eventing Committee. But first, I'm joined by the current chair of the FEI Eventing Committee, Giuseppe Della Chiesa, who is here to explain the new Olympic format for eventing and what it takes for the sport to stay in the Olympic Games. And you're currently in Lausanne for another FEI meeting, Giuseppe.
Yes, in this last couple of years, there's been quite a lot going on with the Olympics and all that.
Of course. Well, we want to hear about the new Olympic format because it has undoubtedly created a little bit of controversy, a lot of conversation around the world. But let's start by just giving an outline of the main changes to the format, Giuseppe, if you would, please.
Well, absolutely. I think it's been a very long process. And it's been a long consultation that clearly, you know, like all changes, gets a lot of different feelings and opinions about it. But I'm very happy to try to to explain a bit. Principally, let's say that this has been all a work that has been done in general by all international federations called by the new Agenda 2020 from the IOC. To look a bit into themselves and see what they could do to improve on some parameters. And specifically for the question sport, the parameter was to try to get more nations involved, more flags and all this. So principally it started from there and it moved along different proposals and thinking until we came to basically the proposal that has been now approved by the General Assembly, and where basically the idea is that we are having for the first time for the team competition, teams are free without a drop score. This clearly is very new for the equestrian sport that have been accustomed always to have competition, team competition with a drop score. And so it's posed some new questions that we have tried now to answer in different ways, how we can actually ensure that we have new teams, new nations coming in. And surely this is an opportunity that we are giving with this new format. But we must also ensure that for our specific discipline or eventing, we can actually fulfill all the different requirements, and we can have a solution also for some of the possible inconvenience that can happen in our discipline. I think that this approach of the teams of free with no drop score is a common approach of the FAI. All disciplines went along this line, and surely we had to work on the same direction. Basically, the change of format, I would say, the competition is always the same. So we don't actually didn't change the format of the competition, but it's how you actually make the classification of the teams that changes.
And one of the other things that will affect is the qualification, as I understand it, Giuseppe. Can you talk us through that?
Well, regarding the qualifications, in principle, we are not having any different qualifications if we are talking about the minimum eligibility requirements. So basically, the same technical requirements must be achieved. But what actually is something that is now building and will be presented to the national federations with the new revision of the rules, and we actually work on this now, is to try to adapt all our scheme of competition, so all the different levels of competitions, try to line up with this approach of trying to have more teams at the Olympics. So basically, the big strategical move that will take some time to produce results. But the idea is that we need to find a level for team competition that is accessible to a bigger number of countries around the world. And this must be within an accepted and acceptable level of risk. because we know that the venting has this kind of, let's say, characteristic of being a sport with some risk. So all the work also on the qualification and the building up of the qualifying events is related to this final aim to produce possibly more nations at the Olympics, more flags at the Olympics.
Absolutely. It speaks to the IOC mission, of course, of being more inclusive and bringing in the nations that don't consider eventing to be a popular sport, considered to be a minority nation from the FEI's perspective. But there were, as I understand it, a few national federations, Giuseppe, that voted against the original proposal, including some major countries like France and Germany and New Zealand. Let's talk about the process now. I understand in July of this year, the IOC Executive Board will decide on the events and quotas. Do you have an update on how the national federations are coming around to these new proposals?
Actually, I would say that in this respect, I can definitely say that we have an update regarding the IOC, because the IOC, contrary to what was announced originally, that would in July produce the answer to the inclusion of all the different sports in the program for Tokyo, actually anticipated this kind of decisions. And we must say that we are very happy to have learned that equestrian sport has maintained all its quota, differently from other sports that unfortunately have lost part of their quota. So all equestrian sports and eventing between the other disciplines, with the other disciplines, have maintained exactly their full quota. This, I would say, is in one way the best answer to some very clear, let's say, worries or concerns expressed by some federations about the need of the change. I think that we needed to take responsibility for what we were called from the IOC. And I think that the equestrian sport took up very seriously this call. I think that now we can definitely look to our future and still discuss about Olympics with a brighter future in front of us. This doesn't mean that we will ever have a granted position. We are talking now of 2020. 2024 needs to be discussed, but we are looking definitely in a much better view. So I think that clearly when you make changes, not everybody can maybe immediately come on board or may have reasons for resistance. But looking at the big picture now, I think that the move is being accepted in general, and the benefits of that move are now showing out.
And just so our listeners understand, Giuseppe, what were the main concerns from those leading nations about the changes that have been introduced?
Well, I think that, you know, the main concern, if we talk specifically about eventing, is clearly that we have a competition where we've been accustomed for a long time to have a possibility to have a drop score. So we know that our sport is a sport where it's possible to have some mishaps that can happen. So a horse could have a physical problem, you could have some kind of an elimination in one of the phases or whatever. And so the idea, everybody's been accustomed to have a possibility of dropping one score and using another one. That has been, especially for the stronger nations, I would say a great advantage, because clearly we know perfectly well for eventing, for example, that we've been in some Olympics where we had five competitors that were starting for a nation and only three were counting. And clearly this was an advantage for those nations that could line up five competitive combinations compared to nations that maybe could just maybe get three there. So it's quite clear that there's been some reason opposition to this. There's been also reason regarding, it's been talked about the possibility of, you know, having a risk of abuse of horses. But this, I think that with all the provisions that we put in, the new proposal of the reserve horse that can be used and all this, I think that we can be comfortable about having covered these kind of concerns.
And just remind us then of the timeline now. You mentioned that the IOC executive board has already agreed on the quota. So for July, do they still have to decide on the running of the events, the, you know, and the timing, the schedule for that? And when it then it goes back to the FEI General Assembly in November, as I understand it. Can you just talk us through those next steps for ratification, Giuseppe?
Okay, the next step is the executive board of the IOC has accepted the quotas for Tokyo, so that is done. Now it's a matter of coming up with a proposal for the qualification system, how nations will actually qualify for their quota, for their place in the quota that has been accepted. And this is something that will be discussed in the next months by national federations and will be approved by the national, by the General Assembly, and then proposed to the IOC. So next General Assembly, the system of qualification will be approved and proposed by the IOC. But what is sure is that today we know that the question has the full quota that they always had in the Olympic, in the next Olympic Games.
And just to summarise what you said earlier, that we can be assured of the quota, the qualifications, everything will go ahead for the sport of eventing in the Tokyo 2020, but we cannot remain complacent beyond Tokyo. Is that a correct understanding of what you're saying?
Absolutely. That is the correct understanding, and that is what we must always be aware of. Specifically for eventing, we know this is not the first time. There are always concerns about the cost of the operation, and costs for the IOC are today one of the primary concerns. So we know that we must be very conscious about the cost effectiveness of what we do. And in this way, the FAI is now much closer to the organizing committees to try to actually to optimize the different situations. For Tokyo, there's been some quite effective reductions of costs using sharing, probably with a proposal of sharing the venue with other sports, let's say the infrastructure of the venue. That means accreditation, media, and all this. So there are many operations in which we are working in that direction. But clearly, the for the next Olympics in 2024, we need still to give a good proposal, and let's say the deal is not done. We still need to work on it. I'm quite optimistic. The two candidate cities are horse-friendly, I would say. So I'm looking forward also to be able to be positive about that. But at the moment, we achieved Tokyo, and then we will work for the next one.
Very good. Well, thank you very much indeed, Giuseppe, for joining us and explaining this a little bit better to our audience, because I think it's been something of concern since the announcement was made. But at least we know we're safe for Tokyo 2020. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, I'm joined now by David O'Connor, who is now running for the position of chair of the FEI Eventing Committee. David, you've spent many years in the sports administration. Tell us a little bit of the background as to why you feel this is your next calling.
I had a number of groups approach me about whether I'd be interested. This was actually a number of years ago. And I had really kind of gone up and down about whether that was going to be a thing to do at this point. And I really do feel that at this point, it's there'd be something that hopefully you could add. It's a big position, you know, because it's a worldwide look at things and not an individualistic country's look at things. And so I feel like timing wise that this could work, and I, you know, would hope that I could bring something to the table.
Well, it is a time of change in the sport internationally, of course, and the big issue, as we've heard from Giuseppe, is the new Olympic format. What are your thoughts on this alone, David, going forward now? Because in your role, if you do assume the chair, it's an important part of the discussion, isn't it?
Well, I think so. I mean, there are changes, and I think there's going to be some things that were unexpected in what's come out of it. It is what we have to deal with this, with the Olympic format. And I think It has an effect on Olympic qualifications, which I think has to be looked at in a general way, you know, from all around the world, how people qualify. And so it is a change, and it's a big change, and being handed to that next, you know, group. And you're going to have, you know, I think there'll be some problem solving as we go on. You know, and it also ties in with a change in formats of how they're doing all the levels, from an introduction of a 5-star system instead of just a 4-star system. And so there are some big decisions that I think are going to have to be made, or problem solving aspects. And, you know, I've always been trying to be a consensus builder from around the world, and that's around the country for with everything I've done. And that will be a big part of it. And it will be a lot of people will be part of this conversation. It won't be one person. And it won't be just even just the committee by itself. The committee will be responsible for the final decision. But there's a lot of information, a lot of talking that has to happen, and a lot of ideas from very smart people around the world that are going to be considered. Because that's the only I feel like it's the only way to do it.
Well, we're, of course, talking about the pinnacle of the sport here, but let's look at the broader issue of grassroots eventing worldwide. What do you see as the major issues from the leading nations right down to those nations who are trying to get a foot on the ladder of the Olympic Games?
Yeah, I mean, I think the addition of the new 1-star, which is, you know, a meter five, it's a good, I think it's a good addition for bringing people around the world to start eventing and start eventing in a place. And there's many countries that have said that would be useful for them. I think the countries that have developed programs are not going to be using that program as much. But for countries that are just starting or need a leg up, I think that's going to be, that's a good thing. I think one of the things that actually is looming in the future also is just the number of officials that we have. And the FBI is looking into that with their working group. But when you project, you know, 5 or 10 years down the road, that's a kind of a scary look at it, is, you know, the number of officials that are coming into the pipeline, and every country is having their own issues there. So that means that worldwide you're going to have issues. And so that number of officials is getting less and less. And that's, you know, that's a very concerning especially if people want to go all the way up through the level to buy the, you know, it takes years and years and years and years to get up to have the ability to be a top level of official. And so that's a concerning thing, and something that I think, you know, national federations need to be very involved in that conversation as we go forward. The sport, you know, seems to be quite strong, and seems to be quite strong in pockets of the sport. You know, the high end seems to be very strong, and there seems to be a lot of interest. Risk management side of that, to manage, to keep looking at that, is also an important part of, you know, the growth of the sport. And it seems like the way that's going, you can never let it go. You always have to be vigilant. You always have to be willing to take the next step, because there's always going to be things you didn't think of. So, I mean, I think all of these things are kind of, you know, aspects of making sure that the sport can grow. And, you know, from a safety point of view, from a risk management point of view, from an official's point of view, yeah, from an opportunity point of view.
Well, importantly, of course, you're going to be taking a very global perspective of the sport. Now, David, with this role, what would you say would best describe your philosophy about the sport then, and the changing era of eventing, which continues to change with every decade?
Yeah, I'm kind of an equal opportunity person, that's for sure. And I think we have to identify where the growth areas are going to come from. I mean, is China and India going to be a growth area in the Far East? You know, it seems like they are interested in horse sports, getting more interested in horse sports. And so that, you know, could be thinking, you know, Western Europe, you're talking about, you know, supporting the very high-end competitions and developed competitions that are there, making sure that they have a product that they can run. You know, I'm a big believer in the Nations Cup side. I think there's opportunity as a product there, as an entertainment product, and as a competition product. I'd like to see that get to the next level of what it can grow into. Because I think at the high end, you are talking about, you know, some entertainment products. So people want to come see it. as well as giving the opportunity for competitors to, you know, play at the very, very top level. And I think that's very important in the United States. That's important in Western Europe. Eastern Europe seems to be coming along. And then the rest of it, you're really talking about giving opportunities for events to start. Africa is, Southern Africa especially, is, you know, seems to have a real interest, and they're starting a bunch of, you know, they've started a bunch of one-star and two-star competitions. And then helping South America, the problem is not so much that there's not interest in eventing. The problem is transportation of horses in between countries. And, you know, we identified that 10 years ago. I think there's starting to be movement of change of that. And if that seems to get easier, then I think the eventing will really grow even in a stronger way in South America. But it's actually about much more, as I said, about horse transportation than it is about interest in the sport.
Well, you mentioned there the Nations Cup. We recently saw at Great Meadow International three teams competing. And in terms of the sport's opportunity there to develop as a product, David, how do you see that expanding beyond those three teams in North America? Of course, in Europe, it is a lot different. We have more teams competing across Europe in that format. Well, what do you see as the obstacles now and how we do expand it as a product globally?
Well, you see, but fun enough, in the Nations Cup, most of the Nations Cup have been only been running straight across the board, only three or four. I think Aachen will run more, but a lot of the other countries have, their Nations Cups has not run a whole ton of numbers. So it seems like the importance of it is not as high as what we would like to see. Certainly, I think it's a very good product for a lot of different reasons, for education of countries, for opportunities for people to ride on teams, as well as that international flavor. So how do we tie the Nations Cup into something? Maybe it qualifies you for other things. Maybe the product needs to be a little bit different and not tie it just to a CIC, but maybe it's a little, it has to stand alone. So it gets a little bit more panache. So I think there's things to look at it and to feel like countries want to use it in a better way, but you really have to ask the countries, you know, how would you want to use it, and not just think about it, you know, as an individualistic thing. I do think that it's an opportunity that we could use better, and I think that it has the opportunity to grow.
And is there anything particularly in North America, and I'm including Canada in this, that could do it to, and in the sport, David, to improve its position globally? Because it always seems to be the poor relation in the global picture. What do you see from your experience of managing the sport over here that could change to get, Canada and North America back on the podium and have the recognition that it's had in the past?
Well, I think the sport has really grown in a lot of different ways, and it's very much grown in Western Europe. And that had the intensity of the competition over there in Western Europe is very, very high. And so I do believe that in some ways we're still an island, and the familiarity of the competitions, you know, doesn't really produce the intensity that competition takes. So I do think that still, you know, having to go play in Europe is important. And then give opportunities like the Nations Cup and, you know, that and Kentucky Dough, that they bring Europeans, you know, that Europeans do come over. So that intensity comes over here so that it becomes harder to win. And then the ones that are the drivers, the riders that are the real drivers that refuse to not be one of the best in the world, that's where it's going to come from, because you are in that level of competition all the time, and then you raise your skills. And that's a personal development thing. It's not from a coaching point of view, really. It's not from that's an internal drive that has to come. And, you know, when you go over to Europe enough, or have the Europeans come over here, and every time that happens, you're fifth, or or you go over there and you're 15th. You know, there's something that has to switch, and drive you to say, actually, I'm not happy. I have no desire to be 15th. I really always want to be in those top three positions all the time. And that's an internal drive thing. I remember that even from my point of view back in, 1990, that was happening to me and it was happening to Karen. And so we just moved there. And it wasn't a huge opportunity. We sold everything here in the United States to make that move and just took a big chance. And that chance paid off for us. But it was an internal drive. We weren't sent over there. We weren't supported while we were there from, from the then Federation, the AHSA or USCT. We went on our own. And I think a lot more of that type of thing, that internal drive stuff has to happen.
Well, just to come back to the Olympic status, David, as Giuseppe had mentioned, that we are secure for Tokyo, but we still have to campaign beyond Tokyo to stay in the Games. In your view, how important is it for the sport to actually stay in the Olympic Games?
I think it's very important. I mean, I think from a, because the amount of national federation support around the world for, because we are an Olympic sport, is huge. And you would be talking about a reduction of support for riders and sports and competitions that would drop, 40-50% in one day if we weren't part of that game. And so I think it is very important to stay in the games and in a format that shows our sport and showcases our sport. I'm not that worried about that the right person will win, because the right person usually does win. And so I think it's very, very important to stay in. And I think that then helps us develop the sport around the world. And I think it keeps the eventing in the countries that we know of now in a very, very strong position, with support from their national federations and their fans. And I think that's really important. And if not, it will be a major change to the sport, if we're not there.
Do you want to unpack that for us?
Yes. I mean, I think you have to, you have to put yourself into a place, I think, to show yourself in the best light. There's no question. We are a risk sport. I think everybody knows that. Everything that you can do to make sure that the best of the best that are there, that minimizes risk by itself. And I really do think that you have to keep your vigilance in a huge way about what's around the corner and whether we're relevant in sport and the modern day sport and within that Olympic program.
And your final thoughts, David, what you're most looking forward to if you were to inherit the role of chair of the FEI Eventing Committee?
I think that consensus building is the big thing. I would think trying to have a feeling that the world will that have a part of it, that they have part of that conversation, and that they are welcome to bring ideas and views forward, and then those ideas are going to be weighed and balanced. I think that is the big thing, is trying to build that consensus around the world, so that people are, kind of towing a line of belief in where the direction of the sport can go.
David, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to come on the program.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
And that's it for the show this week. Don't forget to keep up with all the latest news by following us on social media and checking the website regularly for updates and news and results at useventing.com. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.